Okay, we're being recorded. Hello?
Okay. Who's the moderator for this call?
I don't know, I'm pretty sure I'm recorder.
I'm synthesizer.
Then through process of elimination, suppose that would be me. All right, so I have gotten various forms of data from everyone thus far. Some people, I've gotten my luggage data back from a few people. I have not had a chance to look at agreement with what I had coded for them.
Did you do all of your people?
No, I didn't do all of my people for this one. So this is the one where we just divided it evenly. I haven't had a chance to actually look at the data, pull anything together yet. And then I did do nearly all of my people for the tuition data. I think I have about one more section to go for that one. And I have also gotten some tuition data from people. So we have some stuff on the data. I kind of think we should spend more of our time on the expectations, though, which I think, once we get the, even once we get the codes, we still won't know really what to do with them until we get the expectations down. So I would like to start with the expectations. Did you all get the spreadsheet that I sent called Code Hierarchy?
Mm-hmm. Just now or a while back?
This was a few days ago.
It was on the 20th.
I have it. I don't remember looking at it, though.
No? Let's go ahead and pull it up now.
Ah, there it is. Oh, goodness.
Yes. Remember I mentioned in my email it made me cross-eyed.
Oh, yes, I remember the cross-eyed part. Current overall out of the statement, I think they start off supporting this.
How long did this take you to do?
A couple days. Because I had to take a break partway through. I was getting frustrated and starting to confuse myself. Kind of what I did is I went back and forth between the shading and the matrix. So, I would look at the table with the different possibilities and think, okay, what does this possibility tell me? And then I would develop that. I would decide if that fit into an existing shading category or if I needed to create a new one. And then I realized the way I developed some of the shading categories, they didn't work that well when I got, to the other cells of the table. I wanted, some of them I had kind of made too specific. For example, the light green one, which provides, it was supposed to be, it's still kind of in agreement with what we were thinking, but not that strong was really the spirit of what it was supposed to be. And when I had first operationalized that, I said, I was still thinking about the baggage part as the contextual baggage as the main part of our theory. So that's how I wrote it. I said, evidence that provides some support for our theory, or evidence that's not strong support for our theory, but there's some indication they're bringing in extra contextual baggage. That was actually part of the definition. And then when I got to the bottom row, I realized in that case, that was actually against our theory when they were bringing in contextual baggage. So I had to kind of change that and say, that might be one example of what they're doing. So then the baggage kind of came up in a couple places. So it was kind of an iterative process going back between, what are the colors that we want? What are the levels that we should have? What do these things in the table represent? But the basic idea is that, the more saturated the color, the more polarized, I think, the stronger the evidence is. And then green is for us and red is against us and gray is kind of not really sure. So that was kind of my process in this. Did anybody get a chance to look at it?
I mean, my only question kind of looking through this, like, so you have that tuition question only. Is that, that's just for that one little box, right? Not for...
Right. That, you know, we said, like, we had, when we were doing the luggage question, we had said that you could only have an RO. And, but then when we did the tuition question, we said you could have the RUS. It'll be interesting to see if that, if we extend the RUS to, like, the Mac PC question, if that is relevant for that, or if we end up with some of these other ones. For, you know, combinations with R. So, yeah, right now it's just for the tuition question, meaning that that code is only valid on the tuition question data, that we shouldn't be seeing that code in the luggage question, for example. So do we just want to pick a row and look at it together?
Yeah. Why doesn't, for the middle right,
mm-hmm.
why doesn't relational provide evidence against for that one?
So in this case, this is the one where students call into question the methods of the sampling, but it's a biased sample, so they should.
Right.
So we don't know if they're really understanding it or if they are bringing in, like, it, you know, they're bringing in something else. So that's why I put it as a gray. It, you know, we can't really say it's strong evidence for us. It indicates that they do have a good understanding of sampling, but in this box, you know, that's what we would expect in this box, but we don't know if it's true because of our context theory or because they just understood statistics. So that's why I put it as gray there.
Doesn't that kind of contradict the relational coding, though? Because by definition, if we're coding them relational, we believe that they have a strong understanding of the statistical concepts. That's, so by coding it gray, doesn't that kind of contradict the relational rating?
Well,
I guess on this box, I didn't think so. Because, I mean, if it is really biased and you disagree with the claim, you're going to be good at pointing out why it's biased. Or you can just really understand the statistics.
Yeah. You might be recognizing the bias because you're in this situation where the study disagrees with what you believe, or you might be good at pointing out the bias because you know that bias is bad. So you might know, you know, you might be able to consider it.
I see. I totally see where you're coming from. I'm just thinking, I mean, just in terms of the definition of relational.
Well, I think it indicates that they gave a good answer to the question, but I think it, I don't know.
Why?
If the kid who had talked about the preppy woman from France had given an otherwise good answer, we wouldn't have, I don't think we would have put him in relational because he had that extra contextual baggage. So we would have flagged that somewhere else in the table. So someone who stopped short of making statements like that, I thought if we were being strict about what's evidence for us, and kind of that someone can make the argument, well, you don't know if this is because, if they're recognizing this bias because they disagree with the study or because they just understand statistics. And so, I don't know. I see what you're saying about coding is so relational is implicitly supposed to mean they really understood the task. But I think this is one of the limits to the fact that we don't have interview data with them, so we couldn't probe more and find out if they were really just good at statistics or if this was an example of the confirmation bias just happening to kind of work in their favor.
Okay.
This was a very difficult task to think about these. I mean, you can see there is definitely some patterns to the coloring. It tends to flow along rows, flow along columns. Where I was trying to think about if they have this piece, if they're bringing in extra statistical information, what does that tell me? But it was hard. I mean, it's a lot of codes. I don't know for any, I mean, this is all possible codes, and I don't know how many of these we'll ever actually see in their particular, in the particular rows or in the particular cells. But it was a really hard task. So I'm definitely open to criticism and critique. That's, for that particular row, that's why I coded it gray. Because I just felt like someone could argue with us and say, you know, if we said we're expecting them to do a good job and, oh, look, they did a good job, that's support for our theory, someone could say, no, they just knew what they were talking about. And so that's why I put it gray.
Or just because we don't have any red there. So there's nothing in that middle right box that would provide evidence against our theory.
Yes. That was my take on it.
Okay.
Do you think, so basically, here you can kind of see the color coding is going by column. So the ones, I would try and pick out the ones that I thought were easiest to code first. So the ones here that would clearly provide support for our argument is ones where they have the correct ideas about sampling for the most part, but then they also make clear some other contextual information. So for instance, I think I had one problem where it was a biased sample and the student, this was on the tuition problem, and the student said, well, I can't remember whether, I think she might have had a good sample, I can't remember now, but she said something about, like, yes, this is a reasonable conclusion, and she gave some reason, and she goes, of course, I could just be biased, you know, this could just be biased, the biased opinion of a student who pays tuition. So she brought in some clear kind of emotional thing there. So if there's that extra statement, that extra mile, that to me would then communicate that this is kind of that belief bias, but it just happens to be working in their favor in this case. They're getting the selection part right, but it's kind of because it's driven by, or there's still evidence of some other contextual matter in there. So I took that as the strongest support for our theory. So I blocked out the dark green first in this cell. Then the light green, so in the reading across the top in the UC column and the MC column for one extra contextual idea and, you know, multiple extra contextual ideas or irrelevant contextual ideas, the P and the zero for the first question in selection, well, we're saying they will be able to identify the sampling appropriate here. So if they get those ideas wrong, well, is it because they're not understanding the statistics? Is it because, you know, like I wasn't sure, I guess, how else to take that. And I see the fact that they're still bringing in extra contextual baggage, I see that as some evidence for our theory, but the fact that they didn't really get the sampling part right, I took it as weaker evidence then. And the same thing, for the same reason, everything in the multiple both. So multiple irrelevant ideas, both of a statistical nature and a contextual nature. Well, we brought up that with multiple, we don't know, was it more statistics or more context? So I pretty much just put everything in there as less support for our theory, not taking it as the strongest level just because we don't know. It could have been one little statement about context and two statements that were statistical in nature. So I kind of just erred on the side of caution there. The gray ones where they're bringing in extra statistical information, I wasn't really sure. Again, it might be the case where the study's disagreeing with them, so they're trying to find fault with the study, and maybe it just so happens that they're trying to find fault with the statistics. That would still be, that could still be consistent with the theory, or it could be that they don't understand statistics and they're just confused. And certainly with the tuition question, since it was done more of in a hypothesis testing framework, we know that that's a difficult topic for them. And the further I got in, kind of the more incorrect answers I saw. So I said there, like, we don't know what's driving that. Are they mentioning that extra information because they're trying to find fault with the study because the study disagreed with what they believed? Or are they mentioning that extra statistical information because they're just having a brain dump on the paper? So that's why those columns are gray, so the US column and the NS column. And then that first column with the zero, so no irrelevant information, I just put that it would be kind of hard to judge. If it's just answers that are relevant to selection, well, that's kind of consistent with what we would expect in this box. But my take was since that second question is all zero, that they didn't give us enough inkling if it's because they understood selection or because they were trying to pick apart the study because of belief bias. So that was my thought process in coding these. I will make a note in here about the shading the R boxes go against, just shading them gray go against the relational code.
Yeah, my only thought on that was that, you know, we've all, I don't know, I personally have been very sparse in handing out relational code. I think when I see those responses, they are really well constructed. They're really, I mean, they really do seem to understand the statistics. I don't know. I guess I tend to think that, you know, they're responding, I mean, based on their knowledge of statistics versus picking it apart because of context. I think maybe we might be trying to be too cautious on that. I understand you're worried about, we're worried about people arguing with us, saying, well, you don't really know what their thought process was. How can you say that that's evidence one way or another? But I don't know. I don't know how everybody else has felt about the relational ones, but I've coded very few as relational. And they have to be really well thought out and well stated.
I think I've given more relational codes on the tuition data, and some of them I wonder, like, should I go back and look at these again and make sure I'm not getting last? Actually, one question that I did have with relational was I had someone who said the sample was random and the p-value was small, therefore it is a reasonable conclusion. And I wasn't sure if that should be an R-U-S, or a U-U-S, because they didn't say the sample was random and large. And I wasn't sure how important the N large was to us. So that one I kind of coded like U/R, because I wasn't sure. They got the idea of random sample, which is kind of the big idea, but I wasn't sure if that was enough, the way they had written it, was that enough to really be a relational? And if it wasn't a relational, then they really only had the one idea in there about random, so it would be a U. Did anyone come across that?
I just know I didn't give a single R so far. Looking at my tuition data, I haven't.
Sarah, how about you?
I only did one of my two classes, and I don't remember giving out any R's either. I may have given out one. I didn't do my other class yet.
Honestly, I have a lot of zero U.S.'s, to be perfectly honest.
Yep, I had a lot of zero U.S., zero M.S. I had a ton of those.
Yeah, I had a lot of those in my first class.
So yeah. what, then, what then would you say? Do they have to have both random and large to get a relational?
I think it has to be multiple before I can get to relational.
Okay, so you don't think they can go from U to R. So I'll have to go back and check that. Well, does everyone agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try and always go get multiple opinions. So I'll have to check those. I know there was one case where I questioned that. I'll have to look at some of the other ones. So in that case, I think what Tara and Lee are saying is given the nature of the R code, that by definition should mean they understand statistics. Now, ultimately, our theory is that what's driving them is belief bias. And in this one particular cell, the belief bias just happens to work out in their favor in some sense. So if they get an R, where we're saying, no, we think it's because they understand statistics. We don't think this is belief bias. Does that get coded red?
I would say I agree in this middle right one that it should stay gray.
I think it should be red because I think that if it was something with belief bias, then we wouldn't have given them an R. I don't think they could have written an R response. I think there would be some giveaway in their written response. Kind of like what you were saying, Carla, with all that excess stuff about the preppy woman. And
yeah, I guess it kind of comes down to whether we believe that, you know, they can write a completely coherent statistical response if they have this belief bias without letting that belief bias slip in. Look through, you know. I mean, I suppose that is possible.
I mean, I guess for me it's a lot of, I mean, like if I were to change the tone, I think it's obvious that it's going to be contextual. Like if a student were to say, obviously that's not true because this sample is crap. They only sampled colleges in California. We all know. I mean, like, if they don't have to say, we all know, class, you know, California is more expensive than the rest to actually be implying that. If I could be a student who's in a statistics class, you used to be able to say, obviously that's not true because we only sampled prices in California. California may have very different prices than anywhere else in the United States. Therefore, it's not a valid conclusion. And they're basically saying that sample is crap.
So are they saying that sample's crap because the problem said...
I think the word crap in my mind, that's obviously implying that it's contextual.
Yeah.
But they're not going to probably use the word crap in class.
Right, we would hope.
Oh, you haven't met some of my students.
Wait, aren't you the one with the religious school?
I had one student who just picked up on the reject the hoe thing right away and would not stop saying that in class. I'm like, really? Please? Could you stop? Yes, I'm the one that has a religious school.
So we need to decide, or we at least need to reflect, that the grading of these, I'm sorry, not the grading, the shading of these two boxes for the middle right in the R row is kind of contested.
Yeah, I can see it both ways. I still think, though, given the responses I've seen, I think the contextual stuff would come through if it was there. But
I think that's an argument to make these red, then. So it kind of seems like Tara and Lee are arguing that the boxes should be red, and Jackie and I are arguing that the boxes should be gray.
Oh, hot stick colors.
I'm going to have to change this color scheme. I don't know if there's a way to shade half a box. So what I did was, you know, I'm going to make the font red. There we go. Okay, so in this row, I made the font red and the shading is gray. And I have a just written, again, in red text, in the white space of the cell, in the white space of the page. So a few rows down past the no evidence box and the key, I just say, does shading the R boxes gray go against the idea of the relational code? Should they be red instead? And so that might be something that we have to either deal with later on or when we're writing our paper, say, we saw this argument both ways. You know, two of us saw it this way, two of us saw it that way. And so, I mean, fortunately, in neither case, they're going for us. It's not like we're arguing one way it would be for, one way it would be against. We're either saying you can't tell or it's against us. So I think that's at least a little bit better. And I think it's just something we'll either have to make a decision at a later date or address in the paper that we kind of argued it both ways and maybe almost provide some sort of, like, alternate analysis. You know, well, if we coded them this way or if we included them this way, then this would be the percentages. If we included them that way, then that would be the percentages. Although I'm hoping we're giving few enough of them that it won't make a big difference in the end. So I say for sake of time, if everyone's okay with this, I have the objection noted here, and it's something we can return to later.
One quick question about it.
Yes.
For this specific cell, is a RUS, you think, even a possibility? We have the US for a p-value, but if the sample's biased, should they even be addressing the p-value?
I don't know. Basically, I did in every table, I did every possible code, except for the ones that we had said we won't assign. And we had just opened it up that we could assign that one. But that's a good question. I'm not really sure.
I guess I've never really thought about how the p-value part would play a role in a biased sample. In a good way, anyway. I mean, I'm sure I've had students say it when it wasn't important, and I've probably still been classifying that as a U.S. So, I mean, if a student doesn't recognize that it's biased at all, and they say, well, of course we can say that because the p-value is less than any reasonable alpha. I've still been classifying that as a zero U.S. Is that right?
That's what I did.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Maybe an RUS would be harder to get, but I think it's at least still possible.
Sorry, random thought.
that's actually a good point. I hadn't thought about that before. Should we move? Does someone have a question?
I was going to say, they could just start their answer with something like, well, based on the p-value, it appears to be however, and then talk about all the ways the sample's bad.
Yeah, that would actually be a good answer. So I suppose it's possible.
Although it may appear that it is significant.
I see that actually a lot. Does everyone else notice that a lot, too?
At first glance,
this may seem like a reasonable
conclusion. I've been sort of disappointed with my students. I'm like, man, I better be teaching this stuff better.
Shall we move to the top row real quick and discuss that and then kind of work our way back through? Any other questions on the middle right before we move on? Questions, comments, concerns?
I think this is the hardest one, so.
Mm-hmm. I did have a hard time with this one because I'm looking at it going, well, shoot, we're saying we would expect them to get it right, but we don't know if they're getting it right because the confirmation bias worked in their favor or because they got statistics. So I'm just like, I don't know what to do with this one. That one was very hard to put together. All right, so the top row. And basically the top row and the bottom row, I haven't yet seen a clear reason why we would need to distinguish between the random samples and the biased samples. And people can feel free to take issue with that at any point, but that's why, you know, top row and bottom row are just together, that I didn't separate out the cells. And what I did here is in each case we're saying that the confirmation bias, like they're not, so I guess what I was saying here is they're not going to question the study because the study agrees with them. But hopefully if the confirmation bias is strong, then their answer should reflect that. Like they should be making it kind of obvious that the context is motivating them. So the ones that I thought were clearly in favor of us here are the ones where the contextual kind of outweighs the selection. So the cases where selection was zero and the contextual ones, there was data had one or more contextual ideas I thought was clear. And the case where the selection, they had one relevant idea to selection but multiple contextual, I still thought that was pretty strong evidence in favor of us. But then you can see the other ones where, like, what if they said anything else? We talked about how there's the P's we weren't sure in terms of actual volume because the table says the response focuses on. With the P's we weren't sure in terms of volume, that could have been one thing that was wrong or it could have been multiple things that was wrong. The idea was they just missed the point. So there's still some indication that they don't quite understand selection, or there's still some indication that they're bringing in that extra contextual baggage, which we would expect to see here. But I felt that, you know, either a P or if they had multiple ideas relevant to selection, I thought maybe that weakens the evidence a little bit. So that's why most of the stuff in the U, C, M, C, and M, B columns are light green, not dark green. And then likewise, I thought, you know, clearly if their answer just focuses on matters relevant to selection, that's the exact opposite of what I said. So anything where they had anything down under question one and nothing at all down under question two, so all their answer was relevant to selection, whether it was right or not, I took that as evidence against us, strong evidence against us. And then the ones where they brought in the statistical baggage, again, I thought, well, that's not contextual baggage like we thought, so we don't know if it's just a brain dump because they're confused or if it's something motivated. Again, you know, are they just kind of grasping at straws or saying, oh, yeah, this is a great study because I believe it, and here's all this other stuff where I think you know, this is all the evidence why I think it's great, even though it's not relevant evidence. So that one I kind of took as, okay, well, it's definitely more against us than for us, but because they're focusing on statistics, not context, but it still kind of indicates that they don't have a strong grasp of the importance of selection. Or at least there's at least some idea, I think, that they're missing something there. So that was kind of my thought as I was going through this one. And this was the page I started with, and then after I had finished all the other ones, I kind of came back and revised this one a little bit. So this is where it ended up. Questions, comments, or concerns on this one?
My only comment is I'm just surprised there's not more gray on this one. I'm trying to figure out exactly to say where I'm not as positive, but
you don't think those two light reds should be gray?
The whole column?
I agree what you say, that it supports that they don't understand, so part of them supports that they don't understand the importance of selection, but I don't know that it really provides evidence against our theory, like the O, the U.S., the P, the U.S.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I was pulling up our little boxes from our current one compared to like a month ago. And I was trying to figure out why we deleted the We used to have students' response focuses on contextual or statistical matters not relevant
mm-hmm.
be in the box, so we had statistical in it before, and now we don't.
That was me going, I'm the one who added that in there. It started out just saying contextual, and then I added in the statistical, and then I decided to take it back out. And my thought process for adding it in was, you know, well, we were coding it, and the idea was they had irrelevant information. So the idea was if anything showed up in question two. But then I thought about it more, and I thought, well, no, the theory on belief bias really dealt more with context. You know, it was they were bringing in contextual information. And so, like, I remember from the ESP study that Jennifer Kaplan did, when they were picking apart the experimental design, they were doing it based on their knowledge of context. They were saying, well, you know, ESP doesn't work. I remember in hers, I can't remember the details exactly now, but there's this difference between some people saw still pictures and some people saw moving pictures. And so people were picking apart the experimental design, you know, if they didn't believe in ESP. And the study said that there was evidence of ESP with the still pictures. Well, then they'd say, oh, well, that's just too easy to guess. You know, so they were kind of picking apart because they're like, oh, well, there's only five symbols they have to choose from. So I'm kind of, that's too easy to guess. Whereas if they did believe in ESP and the study said it didn't find evidence, they'd be like, oh, well, it must have been too hard with the way they were looking at the moving pictures, or ESP is not like that. ESP works like this. So they were picking apart the experimental design, but they were doing it from a contextual point of view. And so that's why I went ahead and took the statistical back out, because I thought, well, statistical, especially since these are students in a statistics class, this may just be more of an indication of misunderstanding and or brain dump. Which I think is part of misunderstanding. You know, if they don't really get it, they kind of just write anything down. So that's why I took statistical back out. And that's why I kind of put it here more against us as opposed to we couldn't tell. Because I felt like we're expecting, the theory of belief bias says they should be driven by the context, whereas this is giving us some indication that they're driven by the statistics.
I guess even trying to relate to your ESP example then, because, I mean, I guess I would say if they say there's a 1 in 5 chance, so it's too easy to guess, that's a little statistical. They're getting a 1 out of 5 chance.
Sarah or Lee, do you have any thoughts?
I think it depends on the context.
So do we need to make some evidence that needs to be looked at further? I don't think I ever coded anything like gray, to be honest.
I guess I at least think of almost like the zeros and p's in those white-red columns should almost be gray, because I feel like they don't have enough there to actually give me any evidence against my theory. I mean, that would just include the people that said, well, the sample mean was higher than that, so yeah.
So you're arguing that we can't say they're saying that because they don't understand statistics, or if they're saying that because they just want to believe what the study says, so they're trying to find a way to say it's a reasonable conclusion.
I guess a little bit, I mean, I'm thinking of how many, first of all, zero USs I have here that some would say, well, the p-value is small enough, so yes. I'm not sure if that's that's against our theory or because they're only focusing on p-value.
So you would vote for, in the U.S. column and the MS column, making the zeros and the P's medium gray, evidence it's not clearly for us or against us.
I would say at least that far down. I mean, I haven't even thought about how, what a U.S. would look like. But I don't have any of those, I don't think. Ooh, there's one.
All right, Tara or Lee, what do you think about that, making those at least those four boxes gray?
Well, I think Jackie does have a point about trying to, I'm trying to remember back with some of the luggage stuff. You know, when you had a zero, there was just so little there. Trying to extract what a student was thinking and why they thought it does seem a little... I mean, we're saying some evidence. I mean, we're saying some evidence against her theory, but supports the idea that they do not understand the importance of selection. Yeah. Like the ones that Jackie was talking about, where all they mentioned was, you know, the mean, and they just didn't mention selection at all. Does that mean they don't understand the importance of selection?
I guess maybe I have a harder time with though that color meaning two different things, and it's evidence, like, some evidence against this, and they don't get the importance. I don't know if those two things have to go hand in hand.
So I guess, you know, in some sense, this was the least damning evidence against us. But our theory really has been just about context, and so answers where it had a lot of statistics in it, I felt like, well, that, you know, it, in these columns where they're bringing in some extraneous information, it's like, okay, there's some evidence that they're not, you know, our global concern or our motivating concern was that this is a really important topic. And they're not getting that, but we can't say it's because of our theory. So it's still evidence that there's kind of some global problem, but it's not really evidence that our theory is at the root of it. So I guess that's why they were a light red as opposed to a very light green. But I kind of considered them the least damning of the evidence against us.
I guess maybe how I want to think of those boxes is I can pretty much sure they're not for us, but I can't say that they're against us.
Tara, what do you think?
Well, if our hypothesis is that students will have more difficulty assessing the quality of sampling methods when the study conclusions agree, what's the antithesis of that? Because, I mean, essentially, if we have it red, we're saying that it supports the opposite of that. So they won't have any difficulty assessing the quality of the sampling?
Well, this is a hard one because, I mean, in some sense, this is a case where the conclusion agrees with them, so they're not going to be picking things apart. But you would kind of hope, I mean, if our theory was right, what you would imagine someone saying is, oh, yeah, that seems like a reasonable conclusion because, I mean, in the best-case scenario, we would see an answer where, whether it was a biased sample or not a biased sample, but especially I think if it was a biased sample, we'd see a student who would just say, oh, yeah, it's a reasonable conclusion to say that tuition's increased because I believe tuition's getting more expensive or because everybody knows tuition's getting more expensive. I mean, that would be the ideal answer in, you know, in favor of us, in favor of our theory or as evidence of our theory.
If we were going to rewrite that sentence as evidence against our theory, what would we say?
That's a good question. I mean, evidence against our theory would be one where they give a really good relational answer, I guess, where they can clearly articulate the bias, or they can clearly articulate the importance of random sampling, and how that relates to the scope of the conclusion. So I guess the idea is that they're going to have no problem judging the quality, the appropriateness of a study's conclusion.
So if we look at those ones that we have shaded light red, do they fall under what you just said, that they won't have any problem? I would say the O's and the P's certainly don't indicate that.
True.
So I don't think we can say that they provide evidence against our theory.
So you would also be in favor of coding these gray?
I don't know. I'm willing to go there yet. I'm just trying to work through it mentally.
Yeah. I do see what you're saying. I mean, there's, in some sense, like, and it's like Leo was saying, the person that just said, yeah, it's a reasonable conclusion because the p-value is less than 0.05, that doesn't really give us a lot of information. But, I guess the reason why I coded them red, on the red side of the spectrum as opposed to on the green side of the spectrum, is I felt like, you know, our theory kept saying they would be focusing on context, and clearly that answer focuses on statistics. So I guess that's why I went with the red side.
And maybe we should look at one, they focus on selection appropriately.
I'm not sure I'm following, actually.
But I guess for me, that's why the U and the MC, I don't have as big of a problem being that color. Because they are focusing on selection correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So they are recognizing the good aspects or the bad aspects, depending upon what kind of sampling method it is. But with the 0 and P, they're still ignoring, in a sense, the good or bad aspects of the sample, at least correctly.
Right.
I guess I feel like when we look at our boxes and we have that, make sure I pull up the right one here, that they focus on contextual matters not relevant to selection. I would think, I guess, that the opposite, they focus on relevant matters of selection. Not just of statistics, but of selection.
Mm-hmm. Well, a P could still be focusing on relevant matters. They could just be wrong. You know, that student who says, oh, yeah, this is a reasonable conclusion because the sample's random, when it wasn't. You know, they're still understanding, they're still focusing on the relevant matters of selection. They know you need a random sample, but they just don't know what a random sample is. So the P's are still focusing, the P's, you can make the argument that even though they're incorrect, they're still focusing on selection. So maybe it's really just the zeros we're talking about. So do we want to make at least the zeros gray, the 0 US and the 0 MS?
Yes.
I'm on board with that.
Sure.
That sounds like a majority rule. now I need to remember what shade of gray this was. That was the hardest part in this whole thing because I didn't, like, do all of one color at the same time. So I'd have to go back and remember which shade of salmon I had selected for that coloring. Okay, so
in... put them on a recent colors row for you, Harla?
It does, but my middle two... What I had done is the green, for some reason, the bright green, for some reason, at one point, didn't come up under my automatic colors, so I had to create that one. And I had created... There were two light greens that I had created. One, you couldn't really tell the difference. And so, like, all three greens were showing up on my recent colors, and then the reds, they really are very subtle when they kind of show up, so... There was some guess and check about, is that the same shading that I used in the key, or that was part of the whole cross-eyed bit. Okay, so what I did for the top row, I took the box that's zero US and zero MS, and I made them the medium gray, evidence that cannot be clearly interpreted as for or against us. Right now, I left everything else, the P's, U's, MM's, and NC's in those two columns. I left them as red because I feel like there's some evidence that they're focusing on selection there, but they're focusing on selection. You know, it seems like what other information they're giving us tends to be statistical, and our theory says that we would expect them to be giving contextual answers, and so I put that as, well, it's kind of against us, but not too bad. That's what the light red, I guess, is.
As long as we agree that it's very little evidence, I'll be happy. So, like, I think it should be barely pink. Like you wash one red sock with everything, you know?
That would be great. That's how we're going to have to describe this.
Honestly, I think partly the darkness of the color makes me feel like, ah, that's bad. But I'm like, it's only some evidence. So I'll be okay.
Are there any other questions or comments on this row? All right, we're about 5 of 3 here. What are people looking like in terms of their schedule today? Is there anyone who has to get right off the call at 3?
I need to be done about 3:15.
Okay. So maybe what we should do is take a break at this point and decide where we're going to go after this call, and then we can return back to looking at, like, the middle left. We'll just work our way through the tabs. So let's assume we can discuss most of this expectations table. Where do we stand in terms of coding?
I have half my tuition data done and all the luggage.
I have one of my two sections done for tuition data, and I still need to do your class's luggage data. I should get to that this weekend.
Okay.
I just started Herla's luggage data, and I sent my tuition data, but that doesn't really mean much because that was 8 students.
Still something.
But got it done.
But it's done. Yeah, it is done.
So it sounds like we're in pretty good standing with the tuition data. Did anyone, as long as we're on the call, did anyone have any questions about the tuition data? I asked my questions about what's needed for R versus U. I think that's one of the big questions I came across. Does anyone have any other questions?
I think I pretty much asked mine that I wanted to make sure of coding a 0 US for a p-value, whether or not the p-value was a good thing to look at, that we were still doing that. That was my main concern.
Yeah.
I think that most of my data is going to be useless. I mean, I think most of it's in those categories that are gray.
I think I have a lot of data like that, too. I definitely saw a lot of 0 USs, and I even saw some people that were wrong. Like, they'd say, oh, it's not a reasonable conclusion because the p-value is small. Like, they weren't recognizing that we wrote – the verbal conclusion to agree with what the p-value said, they were implying that we had made the wrong conclusion. I think because they missed, some of them they missed that there's not enough evidence to conclude that tuition increased. And so I think they read it as tuition increased. Is this a reasonable conclusion? And they said, well, no, because your p-value is insignificant.
Oh.
And so I'm still coding them as a zero U.S., even though they're kind of a different answer than the people who got it right, who, like, evaluated the p-value correctly.
So they're still focused on just the p-value. So, I mean,
yeah, they're still, the idea was still that all they had in there was that p-value piece of information. The other thing I did is I had a bunch of people who would pull out pieces of the problem. So they'd write down X bar equals this, mu equals that. And sometimes I would just ignore that because I know that that's a strategy students do with hypothesis testing. They try and pick out what are the things I'm going to need to plug into the formula.
Mm-hmm.
But some people would actually go a little bit of an extra mile. Like they would formally write hypotheses. Or some of them would actually start to calculate the test statistics. Like, they'd try and plug in pieces, and then they'd realize they didn't have the standard error, so they'd stop, and then they'd write an answer. And if they did something like that, where they were trying to calculate or somehow formalize the problem, I counted that as something statistical. And then I also counted, usually then they followed that up by saying, oh, yeah, it's reasonable because the p-value is less than 0.05 or something like that. So I also have a lot of zero MSs. And I wasn't sure, and I'm not sure it's going to make a big difference either way, because ultimately an MS and a US end up in the same category for us. But I figured I'd just throw that out there and see what other, if other people had seen a lot of that and how you would handle it.
When we send you the data, Herla, do you want it in the form of the document we're looking at now? Would that be easier for you? Like, do you want us to actually put numbers into each of those cells?
I don't think so. I think just send me the data in the form. There should be a spreadsheet that we have. I'll look and see if I have kind of a blank template, and people can start putting their data into that. I think I want a raw data file, and I'm hoping, and I'd like to use, at some point I would like to pull this into some sort of statistical software and have the software tabulate for us.
I have the spreadsheet that we used for the thing in a SAS database. Do you want me to send you that?
Well, I think people should probably email me Excel files, because that'll make it easier to merge. I still like to copy and paste and clean everything in Excel and then import it.
The question that the students had, like the good problem, good no problem, bad no problem stuff.
I do need that, and I need that as separate columns because that's how I'm going to determine what cell they're going to be in, I think.
But I did put that with my tuition one for you.
Okay.
But I did not do that for your students.
Okay. I don't know if I have it for mine or not.
To be honest.
It might be helpful if you do that for my students, because I think the luggage data, since we all just took a piece of it, if you guys could write that down for them too, that would be helpful, what problem they're in. I would say do the data that you should, the data you should send me should be by rows, one row for each student, and it should have their first name, last name, and their what their problem was, which is sample bias or random, and you can just do B or R, and then what, well, you can't tell me what opinion they have yet. You can just tell me the B or the R, and you can tell me whether there was a problem or no problem, was it significant or not significant, that sort of thing.
I have the database. I have an Excel file also that has all the stuff in. Do you want me to send that to everyone? Because then they can put in the opinion column for you too.
Sure. That would be good.
For the type of question, do you want two separate columns, one for good, bad, versus problem, no problem, or just one column?
I think two separate columns, because good, bad goes in our expectations table that defines the column they're in. but problem, no problem might define the row they're in. That'll depend a little
bit. I know I
had
mine as just ones, but I need to break that up.
Yeah, you should just be able to do, you might just be able to do like a text to columns if it's in Excel and just drop a line in between those so that you don't have to actually retype anything. But, yeah, if you could do those as separate columns, that would be helpful.
Okay.
So then do we move on to coding Mac PC data and send out questions or common patterns as we see them in terms of the coding? I'm kind of curious to see what Mac PC, how that turns out, because that was our split one. So I'm curious to see if we really actually start seeing a dichotomy in the answers. Which
I have one random comment that I probably need to make about my Mac PC question.
Yes.
On one of my four versions, somehow I did not include the sample size on one. And so I'm going to have some comments that say, well, we don't know how big the sample is. And I didn't. I missed it. I forgot that in that one. And I don't know how, but I missed it.
Do you think we should make those ones missing data, or do you think we should, in some sense, if we didn't, well, so this now, it depends on whether they got a random sample or whether they got a biased sample. Because, again, if you have a biased sample, even if you have 40,000 people, it's not good information. So sample size doesn't matter. It's still, what did we decide? We decided to code that as incorrect, right?
Well, honestly, there wasn't necessarily a lot of them that mentioned that the sample size wasn't there, but there are a few. Like, I had one that said the number of student samples may have been too small.
I would say if there's not a lot of them, just go ahead and code them and kind of take that into account. Say, given that they didn't know what the sample size is this a reasonable answer?
I'm sorry. I seriously don't know how only one of the four versions would be missing it.
The magic mistakes of copy and paste. So we have about 10 minutes before Jackie needs to leave. And when are we doing our next call?
I think I had 2 weeks from today.
What?
I think I had 2 weeks down.
Yeah, I have July 7th.
7th.
Okay. 2 p.m.
I'm sorry, when is SRTL? SRTL or whatever
it is? I leave on the 16th. I don't know when my actual talk is.
Okay.
But I leave on the 16th.
Okay.
I have results section written in my calendar for some reason for next week and the week after. I have no idea why I have that. Is that what we wrote on the paper at the meeting? Because I have coding for research written in my calendar for the whole month of June, and then starting next week, I have results section written.
I think we were hoping then we would be able to start tally the results, which we might be close. If we can finish talking about expectations, we might need to continue the last two conversations kind of online. I'm sorry, via email, or we might need to do an impromptu call another day to finish talking about expectations. But if we finish coding Mac PC, we might actually be able to start tabulating results by the 7th. Kind of come up with a strategy. How are we going to put the data together? How are we going to analyze it? That sort of thing.
What are you expected to have for the SRTO?
Well, ideally, I'd like to have some results and something to talk about to say these were the patterns we saw in the data. I think it would be okay, though, if I say these were the difficulties we had in coding the data, or these were the difficulties we were coming across in deciding what our expectations were, and they might, I think given the nature of the conference, they would be okay with that, and they would actually offer advice. So I'm not as concerned about SRTL. JSM, I think we actually have to have results to present. because at JSM, I don't think the whole, these are some of the things we ran into, I don't think that's going to cut it for, like, just stopping there. But SRTL, I think it's designed, I mean, for the long presentations, I know what they'll do is they'll kind of watch video and then discuss it online, like, right then. So it's not like these people are necessarily coming in with complete analyses. It kind of is a group analysis. It's kind of the group working on it together. So I think we would be okay if we didn't have a completely polished results section for SRTL. I think it would be okay if we had, you know, kind of a question for them, as opposed to being able to say this was the evidence we found. If we can find evidence, that would be good. If we don't get to that point, I think that would be okay.
Can we do both, or wouldn't you have time?
I don't know if I'll have time, because I think it's only like 15, 20 minutes, and then some time for questions and answers. So I don't know. It might depend on what the question is or what the results are that we find.
Do you know what the other group is presenting?
I don't know what they're presenting, no.
Because if they're presenting results, then we probably should present results. But
what I'm wondering is, should we, before July 7th, should we talk again about the middle left tab and the bottom row tab of the expectations chart? Or should we try handling that via email?
I think that one's harder to have over email.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Do you guys have some time? Do you even have some time tomorrow?
I have a doctor appointment tomorrow morning. And last time I went to this doctor, I sat in their waiting room for 3 hours before they took me in.
Ouch.
I have no idea how long it's going to be and how long I'm going to be there. So I could possibly do tomorrow afternoon, but it's kind of iffy because I have no idea what to expect anymore when I go.
I will not be done until noon with teaching.
I am good.
What about Monday or Tuesday? I could do, I think, any time after, like, I might be able to make 2. It might be more like 2:30 would be safer.
Tuesday's the activity webinar.
Okay, so we can't do Tuesday. What about Monday at 2:30, we'll say?
I could do that.
I can do that.
Currently open?
Currently open, yeah.
Sorry, Jackie, I missed what you said.
But I'm currently open then.
Oh. All right, so what do you say? Why don't we try and get in a quick call Monday at 2:30? Just to talk about these last two tabs of the expectations. And in the meantime, we'll just continue coding whatever we have left to code, whether it's my luggage data, the tuition data, or moving on to Mac PC.
Do we want to try to invite the RAB again or no?
Yeah. Let's just shoot an email and say we had to carry our conversation into Monday. If you can join us at this time, please do. Whoever organizes the call should send the email to invite, I would say. So who should be organizing this?
Me.
Okay.
All right.
And maybe we'll hear from them, from one of them by then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and maybe actually if the synthesizer could send out the synthesis too to them.
To them?
Yeah.
But they don't have the copy of the file. Do you want me to attach a copy of your file then?
Oh, right. Right. I forgot that we opted not to send them this because I wanted to hear what they had to say before we hit them with this. No, let's just invite them and then what do you guys think? Do you think we should send them this at this point? I just felt like when I made it, like, it was a lot to make. And so I wasn't sure if it would be too much for them to look at, because we were kind of already sending a long email with an involved question. Do you think it would be good to send it to them now and say, this is what we've talked about so far, we're getting together to talk about this again Monday?
I don't think it can hurt anything.
Should we wait to see if we get any response to our initial document from them? Because I don't know how much this would really mean to them, because I think most of us, I mean, the four of us, when we look at this, we can think of data that, you know, results that we've seen when we've been coding.
Well, yeah.
None of them have coded anything using our system, and they haven't really seen any of the types of results we're getting. So how meaningful would this be to them? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, that is a good point.
Maybe we just leave it.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we can leave it for a little bit, see if we get any response back from them. When did I send that out, Monday or Tuesday?
I think so.
Remember.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe if we get a response back from one of them saying that they're going to come to the conference call, then we can send them, you know, that person this table with an explanation.
I think that's good.
I think that's fine. All right. So I don't think we have much to do to really get ready for this call on the 7th, because it's pretty much just going through this. But just keep working on coding if you have any time.
Yeah.
So 2:30 on the 27th?
Yes.
That is what I have.
Yeah.
All right, I will send an email when we get off to Jean.
Thank you. All right, everybody have a good afternoon. I know everyone is really busy. Isn't it amazing how summer seems to be busier than the school year so far?
Yeah.
Good luck with everything, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.